Well, it is a great day, a day that we here in this country honor our mothers, and we have many mothers here who need to be honored. They deserve it because of their faithfulness to the Lord and their diligence in serving the Lord in the realm of being a mother, bringing up their children as they ought. And many of us, we are here this morning having lost our mothers, and we have to remember them. And either way, it is a day in which we think of those who helped us in our earlier years, and it's good to do that. And we do appreciate our mothers. We thank you for being here. Many of you, or some of you at least, are here because of that very reason. You're here with your mother, and we thank you for coming. And we hope that as we think about some things from the Scripture together, that we can come closer, though mostly to God. And that is the design of all mothers, or it should be, to bring their children closer to God and help them to learn who God is, what God has promised for us. And there are some things that the Scriptures teach us that we ought to know. And I want to look this morning at an epistle in 1 John. We're going to get there in a little bit, but I want to talk about some things this morning the Bible says that we can know. What can we know? What do you know? Do you know God? Do you have a strong relationship with God? How do you know if you know God or not? Is it because of the way you feel about it? How do you know if you know God? Are you confident of your relationship with God? Are you confident that you're going to be in heaven for all eternity when life on this earth comes to an end? Are you confident of that? John deals with those questions, and the Bible deals with some things that we should know. We live, however, in a very uncertain world, don't we? I mean, when we buy a vehicle, what do? One of the first things we do, we want to make sure that we have a warranty on that vehicle. We want to make sure that that vehicle is going to be covered in case something happens to it, because it might. We go and we get insurance for that automobile because we just might get in a wreck on the way home. We make sure that we have insurance for health, for life, for our home. Why? Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I was on my way home yesterday morning, and I saw a house that was still smoldering on Alexander Road. It had burned down while I was gone. You never know. We live in a very, very uncertain world. Economic turmoil. Who was watching Fox News this past week when the Dow Jones dropped 1,000 points in just a matter of minutes? Very uncertain economic times. We live in a time in which natural disasters, who knows what's next? This is a tornado season. We had a few tornadoes last weekend, or weekend before last. We need to understand that we don't know. Earthquakes, volcanoes, who knows? Our own health and the health of those we love. We're not certain about tomorrow in any way, shape, manner, or form regarding our health. We have no idea when we may lose it. Thus, we have health insurance to try to cover the cost so that we can try to hopefully get better, and hopefully doctors will have a way to make us better, but we don't know that. Our own health and the health of those that we love is always a concern because we do not know what is about to happen. And the very uncertainty of life itself, we don't know when our life will come to an end. For the life of those that we love, we don't know. James deals with this in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
We don't know. We live in a very, very uncertain world. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13, the wise man said, "And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under the heaven. This burdensome task God has given to me, the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind." Material things. I don't care what things you're talking about. Material things are going to come to an end. All human relationships. Everything in this world that we know under the sun, under the heavens, is one day, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. John says, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are of the world and not of the Father." And what does he say in verse 17 that's going to happen to these things? They're going to be destroyed. They're all going to come to an end. We live in a very, very uncertain world. Now I want to talk to you about some things that we do know. Some things we do know. Okay, we know that something cannot come from nothing. And that's, I think, an understood principle. Even scientists understand that something cannot come from nothing. Something had to exist first. And so evolutionists, they have a serious problem with this. They don't know how to explain how this world got here. It had to come from something. So you had the Big Bang. And life had to come from something. But how did life come? Well, they just about decided that it could not come accidentally on this planet, so it had to come from somewhere else, either intentionally planted here by aliens from another planet, or maybe it came here, maybe there was some piece of life that got stuck to an asteroid or to a meteorite and came here and got started. Who knows? But it had to come from somewhere. Something cannot come from nothing. Well, we understand that. That's something we know. We know that every effect must have an adequate cause. We know that. We know that all things material are in a state of entropy. Now, what we mean by that is things are running down. Energy is transferred from one state into another, and once used, it continues to run down. This world is running down. The sun is running down. The earth is running down. Our solar system is running down. Everybody knows that. And we know that good health and life on earth will end for everybody. We've seen it. We know it. It's going to happen. These are some things we know. These are things that have been observed. We know these things. Well, the Bible also talks about some other things that we should know. We should know that the Lord, He is God. Psalms 100 and verse 3. The Lord, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You look at the evidence that God has placed in this material universe. It screams Creator, Designer, all-powerful Creator and all-powerful Designer and wise. Know that the Lord, He is God. When we look into His Word, we can come, as we gain knowledge and understanding of God, we can come to know God, that He is Lord. In John 6 and verse 68, but Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, speaking up for the rest of the disciples, after many disciples had left Jesus, Jesus turns to them and says, "Will you also go away?" Peter says, "To whom shall we go?" We believe and we have come to know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know that? Through our study and our search of the truth found in the Scripture, we can come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we can come to know that He is Lord through faith. By the way, faith is not some fly-by-night, fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type of thing. It's not some feeling that you have. Faith is based on evidence. Faith is confidence. It is certain in your mind and in your heart that what you believe is true. Faith. Do you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? In Psalms 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Sure, certain. Do you have that kind of confidence in the Word of God? The psalmist did. And there was a reason for it. In Numbers 32 and verse 23, but if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure, your sin will find you out. That's something we can know. We should know. You don't sin in a vacuum. You don't sin in such a way that nobody will ever find out. Your sin will find you out. We need to know that. And even if we are able to hide it all the days of our life, the day is going to come when we stand before the Lord and everything's going to be laid out for everybody to see. There's no hiding it then, for sure. Your sin will find you out. In Romans 2 and verse 2 and 3, Paul there says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, old man, that you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? You're not going to escape the judgment of God. Hypocrites aren't going to escape the judgment of God. The evil people will not escape the judgment of God. No one will escape the judgment of God. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth. He will judge us according to what is real, what is right, what is fair. Some things that we should know. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now we need to know that we reap what we sow. It's very important that we take each and every day and we sow what is good and what is right, what is spiritual in our life. Sow to that which is eternal, not that which is material. We will reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. This is a certainty. We see that in life. Proverbs 11 and verse 18, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. It's certain. It's something we should know. If we serve the Lord faithfully, God will bless us. He will reward us. It is certain. It is sure. Romans 8 and verse 28, a passage we looked at a couple of weeks ago on Sunday evening. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The things that God has provided for our spiritual growth, for our spiritual needs, God has provided those things so that all things work together for our good, for our glorification in the context. So, these are some things that we should know. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul said, we know. We know this. We know this by faith. But we know it. It's certain in our minds and in our hearts because of the One who has promised it, God. It's certain. It is sure. Some things that we should know. Now, in the book of 1 John, this epistle is very interesting in that it was written for the purpose of exposing some of the errors of Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a philosophy that really is kind of hard to put your finger on when it began or even what it is. But Gnosticism basically is this mystical dependence upon knowledge, internal knowledge that comes up from inside of us. And the importance of knowledge in general. What we know. what we self know. Knowledge. Well, knowledge is important. But John, in writing in response to the Gnostic theology and philosophy, exposed many of their errors because their knowledge was not based on Scripture, it was based on other things. It was not based on the Word of God, it was not based upon the testimony of God, it was based upon other things. And so John is exposing their errors. It's interesting that as he is doing so, he emphasizes the need that we have for knowledge. And he states many times that there are things that we as Christians can and should know. In fact, he uses the word know 39 times in this epistle. And we're going to notice a few of those. Not going to be able to deal with all of them this morning, but we're going to look at some of them. Number one, he says that we can know God. I asked the question at the beginning of the lesson. Do you know God? Do you know if you know God? John says we can know God, and he says that we can know that we know God. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, look at verses 3 through 5. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If we keep His commandments. Are you keeping the commandments, the teachings of the Lord? If you are, then you can know that you know God. He who keeps His commandments abides in God and He in Him. Again in chapter 3 and verse 24. Chapter 3 and verse 24. And this is, verse 23 says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in him, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. If we keep His commandments, we abide in God and God abides in us. There's a relationship. We can know that we know God. And when we talk about knowing God, we're talking about a relationship. A close, intimate relationship. When God is the guide in our life, the primary, principal guide and instructor in our life, we follow His will. We submit to Him. We trust Him. There is a relationship that is established. And that relationship is sustained when we keep His commandments. Those who know God hears the apostles. In 1 John 4 and verse 6, and this again is one of the direct contradictions of the Gnostic philosophy, John is saying those who know God, they hear us, not these other fellows. They hear us. John chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He who knows God hears us. These are some tests. Do we keep His commandments? Are we abiding and living in accordance with His commandments? Are we listening to the teaching of the apostles in Acts chapter 2, verse 42? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayer and breaking of bread. We need to continue in the teaching of the apostles, but we need to hear what they have to say, and we need to follow those teachings. We can know that we have been begotten of God. If we are begotten of God, we are of God, that is. We're born of Him. We know Him. We have a relationship with Him because we are related. We've been adopted by God. The Lord through Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5 and verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Faith, obedience, submission, in other words, these are essentials to knowing God. If we are believing and following and serving and loving, then we know God. And we can know that we know God. This is something that we as Christians can know. We can look into the Scripture and we can determine what God wants us to do. And we can look into our own heart and we can see whether we're doing it or not. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, James says in James chapter 1, we need to be a doer of the Word, not hearers only. So some things we can know. Something else John mentions that we can know. We can know that we have passed from death to life. We can know this, John says, because, in chapter 3 and verse 14, because we love the brethren. 1 John 3 and verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So, because we love the brethren, we can know that we have passed from death to life. Now, it's not saying that if we only love the brethren, it's not love only here, but we understand it's also including the obedience and faith. But love is essential. And the point that John is making is that if we do not love the brethren, then we know that we have not passed from death to life. But if we love the brethren, those who are also in God, then we know that we have passed from death to life. If we do not love our brethren, we know that we will not have eternal life. And we can know that love, we can know what love is. We can know. Continue in 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 16. He goes on, he says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We can know what love is. When we look at Jesus, what did Jesus do for us? He left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, lived here as a man in the flesh. He took upon himself flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. And he lived here for 33 years. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was beaten. And he was nailed to a cross. And he did that for our well-being, not his. He did that so we could be saved. That's love. A sacrifice. By this we know love. John 5 and verse 8. That's the point that Paul makes there. For we know what love is. We can see what love is. For God so loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. We can know love in that John goes on, he describes it, and he says that we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Do whatever is required. Sacrifice for the well-being, for the betterment of someone else. And he goes on even further. He who has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We can know what love is. And we know that if we love the brethren in these ways, then we have passed from death to life. Something else that John says that we can know. We can know that God hears our prayers. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 makes the point. I'll go ahead and make it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Confidence. We know. We know by faith that God will hear our prayer. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments. When we keep His commandments, we know that God hears us. We know that God is concerned about us. We know that if we ask anything in accordance with His will, He hears us. Now back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. The point is, if we ask according to His will, He hears us. You know, Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 three times that his thorn in the flesh be removed. What was the Lord's answer to Paul's request? It was no. It was not according to His will. God said no. Sometimes God does say no. But when we ask in accordance with His will, He gives us our request. If you go on in verse 15, He makes that point. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. God will grant us our petitions, again, if it's in accordance with His will, if we trust, and if we are obedient to Him. These are three conditions of God answering our prayer. Are we keeping His commandments? 1 John 5:14, we have confidence that whatever we ask, hears us in accordance with His will. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, although He did not put the qualifier with it. The point, the qualifier should be understood. In Ephesians 3 and verse 12 as well, we understand that when we seek God, God knows what we need before we even ask, but He wants us to ask. And He's promised to hear our prayers. If we keep His commandments, if we love and we believe, if we ask in accordance with His will, we know that God hears us. We know that God is concerned for our well-being. And the truth is, and something we have to trust, is that God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best for us. God knows what we need. It must be in accordance with His will. But we can know that God hears our prayers. Something else we can know. We can know that those who are born of God do not sin. You say, what? That's impossible. Then no one is born of God because we all sin. Well, John, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, let's think about this point for a few minutes and what exactly it means. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Chapter 2 and verse 1, John goes on, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So John, at the beginning of this passage, he's talking about walking in the light, the importance of walking in the light. Walking in the light means we walk by the truth. We walk by what God has revealed. When we walk by the truth, then we're not walking in sin. We're not walking in darkness. There is a continuing aspect that we need to understand about this. It doesn't mean that we'll never stumble. It means that we are consistently walking in accordance with truth. But when we do stumble, what do we do? What must we do? We must confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And John is writing these instructions to us that we may not sin. But we understand that sometimes we make a mistake. Sometimes we goof. Sometimes we even commit sin. But when we do, we need to confess and stay in the light. We cannot walk in darkness. Those born of God do not walk in darkness. That's opposite of the Gnostic view. The Gnostic view is the body can go on living like the devil and the spirit still be okay. That was the Gnostic understanding. Something else John says about this concept in 1 John 3 and verse 3. 1 John 3 and verse 3, he says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Now, how pure is Jesus? Now, none of us can obtain that, achieve that by works or anything on our part. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We're all in a state where we're filthy, defiled, and needing to be purified. In fact, the very passage points out He purifies Himself. In other words, He's nasty. Now He becomes pure. He becomes pure as Jesus. When we're forgiven of our sins, when our sins are washed in the blood of Christ, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are pure. We're free from sin. Now, the key is we're to stay that way. But what if we sin? Well, when we sin, we become defiled. We need to purify ourselves again. We need to be like Jesus. In 1 John 1 and verse 22, you purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Purify your souls in obeying the truth. Whoever abides in Him, 1 John 3, 4 through 9, does not sin. John goes on and he says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So there we have a good definition of what sin is. It's violating the law of God, walking contrary to the law given by God. Verse 5, and you know that He who was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. He is manifested to take away our sins. We've all sinned, but through the blood of Christ, we can have our sins taken away so that we stand pure in His sight. He goes on in verse 6, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Now that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Whoever abides in Him does not sin. And if you sin, He says, you've neither seen Him nor known Him. Do you know Him? Well, if you're in sin, you don't. I think we need to look at verse 7 to help us understand verse 6 when He says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Okay? The idea of abiding in Christ is the practicing of righteousness. And in fact, as you go on, verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. He cannot sin. The word in the original language is in the tense, which demands us to understand it. Instead of just an act of sin, it demands us to understand a practice of sin. That's why he says, he who abides in him practices righteousness. He who does not abide in him practices unrighteousness. There's the contrast. It's the practicing of sin. This goes along with what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 1. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? What's the answer to that? No. God forbid. We cannot continue in sin. One who is born of God, one who abides in God, does not continue in sin. You don't live a sinful life. You don't walk in darkness. You walk in the light. You abide in Him. You do not continue in unrighteousness. Whoever practices unrighteousness is not of God. So, those born of God do not continue in a sinful lifestyle. If you know God, if you've been born of God, then you're living in accordance with His will, according to His law. You're not living a lawless life. So what do you know? We can know that we have eternal life. We can know. Know by faith, but we can know. It's certain in our mind, in our heart, that we have eternal life. This is one of the purposes of this epistle. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, John says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son." This is the testimony. This is what God has said. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, 1 John 5 and verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You may know. And again in verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." We can know. We can know that we have eternal life. We will be like Jesus. We shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. The judgment is coming. The day is going to come. Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. This hope motivates us. This knowledge, this understanding of eternal life motivates us to live for the Lord, to purify ourselves, to live a righteous, holy, godly life. We know that we are of the truth and our hearts are assured before Him. 1 John 3 and verse 19. We can know, John is saying. Now, I'm not saying that you know. I'm not saying that any person actually knows. What I'm saying is you can know. I'm saying you can. You can know through your study of the Scripture, through your obedience to the Scripture, to your trusting in the Scripture, to your trusting God, to you following the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, you can know that you're right with God. And you can know that you have eternal life. Our hearts can be assured before Him. We can know that we are in the truth. In the book of 1 John, regarding our relationship with God, he gives us three fundamental tests. Number one, belief in Jesus. 1 John 5, 1 and 4. If we believe in Him, we know God. We know that we've been born of God. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "It is impossible to please Him without faith, for whosoever cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now we need to trust that and understand Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that with all of your heart? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Test number two is love. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Love. This is a commandment taught by Jesus to His disciples. It is a test of discipleship. The question is, do you love? Do you love God? Do you love the brethren? Do you love? Test number three, obedience. Do you keep His will? This is a very important test, and perhaps this is, well, I guess, numbers two and three here, love and obedience, it kind of puts us in a place to where I'm not sure I'm doing enough. I'm not sure I'm loving enough. I'm not sure I'm obeying enough. Do we love as we should, as we have opportunity? When we see an opportunity, he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is what? Sin. So, ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. Love. Do we love when we are presented the opportunities to express it? We do that which is necessary. And obedience, are we doing what we know? Let's ask that question. Are we doing what we know? In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3, I think this is something that we need to keep in mind. 1 John 5 and verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. I think that too many have complicated so much the teachings of Jesus Christ and certain requirements that we've made it so complicated that people are missing the point. I really do. What can we know? Well, we can know that it's not that these things are mystically hidden in the Scripture that we can't understand them. They are there. What is so hard about understanding the things that God has revealed to us, the things that we're to do? I think that it is rebellion also that has complicated things. People have refused. They don't want to do what God says, so they do the things that are wrong. They do the things that are unscriptural, things that are without authority, and that just complicates things. And we have to then prove that this isn't right. You shouldn't be doing this. And it gets more complicated and more in-depth, when really, though, following Jesus isn't that complicated. It's rather simple. And it's not burdensome. It doesn't rub you the wrong way. It's good for you. The only thing that makes obedience hard is the wrong attitude of a heart that doesn't want to. Are we obeying God? Are we doing what we know? In 1 John 5 and verse 18, John says, we know that whatever is born of God does not sin, does not practice sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. We have a responsibility. And the wicked one does not touch him. That's Satan and all of his devices. Because of our knowledge and our understanding of what is true, and we're serving the Lord. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This is a knowledge that we have, and we know this, that those who know God are separated from the world, and the world is lost. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. Do you? Are you here this morning? Do you know Him that is true? Are you, as He says, in Him who is true? In His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Do you know God? Are you confident of your relationship with God? Are you confident that you're going to heaven, that you'll be in heaven, that you'll have eternal life? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Answer that question right now.
Do you believe that? Are you willing to confess that faith before men? Have you confessed Jesus before men? Have you turned from sin? Have you turned from that which is unlawful, that which is sinful, that which is wrong, that which is contrary to the will of God? Have you repented? And have you been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Have you obeyed the gospel? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Have you submitted to His instruction? And are you continuing to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, as we read earlier in 1 John, and loving God and His children and obeying His commandments? Friend, if you are, then you know God. You know that you have a relationship with God, that you abide in Him and that He abides in you. You know that you are on your way to the glories and the promises that God's given to you for serving. But if you're here this morning and you've never done those things and you're not serving the Lord like you should, I'll tell you something, there's something you can know. You can know that one day you're going to stand before God. Know that. You're going to give an account to Him for how you've lived your life. And just as certainly as He has promised those who serve Him eternal life, He has promised those who do not eternal condemnation. You can know that, my friend. Now you can know God. And you can know His Son Jesus. And you can know eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you don't, then you need to. We can help you. We'll study with you even further. And we'll help you come to know who God is. We can help you come to know what you need to do in order to serve Him faithfully. We'll help you. But you need to do whatever it takes so that you can be right with God. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we bid you come as we stand and sing.